What a great and glorious God we have. Have you been taking a journey? Have you been on Camino? It's something I'm trying to introduce us to, is the whole mindset that you and I are not just exchanging oxygen every day. We're not just trying to figure out what to do, but we're on a path. Every one of us is on this journey. And we could be rather secular and talk about the kinds of things we enjoy doing, the kinds of jobs we have, the people we want to meet, the loves we want to have, the families we want to raise. We could also be very, very spiritual and just talk about the journey to find God. Would that be a good journey to be on? Of course it would. I'm just trying to get us Americans who don't think much about what a pilgrimage is to try and think about that concept of a pilgrimage. And it is not a pressure or even invitation for you to get up and go to a certain place, but just that we would have the mental thought that you and I are ambassadors. We have been sent by a king, King Jesus, to tell other people about him. Amen. And this is our Camino together. And so that's why we created this thing called Camino 352. It's very simple. Camino means path. We're going to do it for 52 weeks, calendar year 2015. And we're asking those three questions. Lord, show me where to walk. Keep me safe from my enemies and teach me your will. And so we introduced reading the scripture this year, starting at the beginning as we'll walk through. Every day we have a different kind of reading in the text to ask those three questions and solicit from the Spirit within us and the wisdom that God might give us. How, Lord, are you answering these questions in my life? I'm on this journey with you, God. What is going on? Now, just in the month of January, think about this. In the month of January, we read the book of Genesis up to about 11 or 12. Then we went to the book of Job. We read through the entire book of Job. Then we came back to the book of Genesis. We finished that out in the month of January. And before we think about Exodus, just think for a minute. When you think of the book of Genesis, what things come to mind? Not necessarily about the three questions, but just the book of Genesis. What comes to mind?
Creation.
The story of creation. Anybody read Genesis last month?
God had a plan.
You were just telling me you read it. What, do you know what it was about?
It was about God creating us. It was about how he poured so much love into us.
See, I'm on this journey, and I want God to reveal stuff to me. And he tells me all about the creation, the beginning of Genesis. All about the creation. And so we have Adam and Eve, and we have the fall of man, and then we have ages go. Then we have this guy, Noah. Remember Noah? And Noah kind of became pretty important. God gave Noah an amazing journey, didn't he? He said, go build this giant boat. And then all the people of the earth were taken away by a great flood as God attempted to cleanse the place. Noah and his family survived, and a covenant was made. Do you remember that? God is a covenant-making God. And a covenant was made with Noah that God would never destroy the earth by flood again. And then Noah, he had children, his children had children, and you're reading through Genesis, and now we start to introduce a whole lot of people into the story, right? Anybody remember any of the story, any of the people in the book of Genesis? How about Abraham, Isaac, and
Joseph.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Joseph, yes? So we start coming into our lives, all of these people, and every one of these people has a
journey.
They have a journey that they're on. And are they all just perfect and righteous and holy in every way? In the middle of the reading, we go to the book of Job. Oh my gosh, talk about a... What is the when you think of the book of Job, is there any central concluding message that you got? If somebody were to ask you someday, oh, that book of Job, boy, that was something else. What would you say was the terminal message, that is the ending message of the book of Job? Anybody want to rescue? K-Wing.
Hang on
to God, believe and trust in Him. Anyone else? Mark.
God establishing who He is.
God establishes who He is in the book of Job. Okay? Anyone else?
Good people can suffer.
Good people can suffer. How about good people will suffer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Your friends may not always have the best advice.
Yeah. Anyone else? Lars.
If you hang on to God, He will always bring you back no matter what your troubles.
If you hang on to God, He'll bring you back no matter what your troubles.
Amen.
And I would just add, I agree with everything that's been said, but I would add one bit more. Because you and I, we go through stuff. You and I suffer loss. True or false?
True.
And with loss, we suffer heartache or frustration, sometimes anger, often confusion. Anyone? Have I touched on anybody's life yet? This life that we're going through, lots of questions. In this business of God, we're talking about God, okay. God, the eternal one, God, the Father, there He is, off in the heavens somewhere. But I'm down here slugging it out on planet Earth, and sometimes I feel kind of alone. Anyone? Forsaken? Anyone? What is going on? Oh, we got churches and we got religions, all kinds. We got enough religions to stack the planet with. What is really God all about? And what kind of a God would do all this stuff anyway? I love it when God shows up and says, "Who are you to ask me what I'm doing?" You know, He kind of tries to set things in perspective. And then at the end of the book, I've said all that to say this, at the end of the book, what does God do? He restores. Right? Everything that had been taken away from Joseph is... Wow! Have you ever had the flu? Have you ever just been sick? I mean, why do they say sick as a dog? Why is it that we say sick as a dog?
Because...
Do dogs get especially sick?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Never mind. That was a dumb question. Have you ever been just really sick? I had, for the first time in my life last year, I got pneumonia. First time, and I don't ever want to go there again. I mean, when you are sick, have you ever had a migraine headache? Anyone? I mean, when you just can't bury your head in the pillow any deeper? I mean, when you and I are suffering, it's all consuming. That's the only thing we can think about is our suffering. I've even had discussions, because I'm in the clergy, these questions seem to come up on a regular basis about people and their suffering, and all the end-of-life questions that come up. Tom and I were talking about it just this past week with our pastor friends. See, you and I so very much want to be in control, and we recognize whether it's early in life or at the end, near, we're not in control. And we've got all these questions, and we think because of our misery and our suffering sometimes that that's all there's going to be, is misery and suffering. And I just want to ask you if you know the Lord. Do you believe what you say you believe? Do you believe that God loves you?
Amen.
Do you believe that when you're hurting? Do you believe that when you don't have enough money? Do you still believe that God loves you? Do you believe that when your husband or wife divorces you? Do you still believe that God loves you? Do you believe that when your child leaves home or your son or daughter gets sick and dies? Do you still believe that God loves you? This is the book of Job, dear ones. Your life and mine lived on the pages, a wonderful story, and the neat part is the end. When God restores. And I know, even as I say all this, I'm getting lots of contact from you as your wheels are spinning. I can hear the yes buts all over the place. And the thing is that God Almighty is faithful to His Word. And that's what our faith is about. We are those that believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross, shed His blood for us. Yes? We are those that believe God raised Him from the dead. Are we not then those that believe He is coming again? And when He comes again, He'll take us with Him. I've had these wonderful discussions. How's He going to do that? I mean, some people were buried a long time ago and they've long gone to the worms. Other people were cremated. And how's God going to gather that? Folks, He's God. He will do whatever He says He'll do any way He wants to do it. Do you believe that God can restore everything the way He originally wanted it to be?
Yes.
How about the heavens?
Yes.
At planet Earth?
Yes.
How about us people? Wow! We have a great and a glorious God. And I think it's good for us every now and then to remember that. I want to share with you out of the book of Genesis chapter 39. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Genesis 39. Jonathan, you'll like this because we get to the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Now, Joseph had been taken to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard, himself an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him there to sell along with their goods and wares. Do we agree that Joseph was in a world of hurt? Huh? Joseph had a predicament. He had been sold into slavery, taken to Egypt. His journey, his camino, wasn't looking so good. How would you feel if you were Joseph at this stage of the story? Your own family hijacked you. Your own brothers sold you. You think you have family problems. I think the next line, verse 2, is critical to the entire story of Joseph and certainly Genesis and certainly you and me. It reads, "The Eternal One was with Joseph." At least that's in this translation. Steve, how does your translation read?
The Lord was with Joseph.
The Lord was with Joseph. Okay, so let's just try and anchor something. God, I need You to show me today how I'm supposed to walk through the day. I want to be an ambassador for You today. I am a member of a royal priesthood, and I want to be faithful to that call. Not just me as pastor, but all of us, yes? But I'm in this predicament. I am in some kind of bondage due to sin. Whether mine or my forefathers isn't important. Perhaps it was none of my sin at all. Maybe it was your sin. But I find myself in a predicament. And I'm saying, God, rescue me from this. Show me how to walk, but rescue me from my predicament. And at the in the midst of this, I'm really, after all my focus is on me, eventually I get to the place where I say, okay, God, show me Your will. because I think you have the same issues in your life that I have in mine. When I just start looking at my situations, the focus is on, it's on me, my stuff, my family, my church, my whatever. It's very easy for us to be very selfish, yes? But what we really want to get to is, okay, God, what are you doing? What are you doing, and what do you want from me? I mean, what is it that your will is for my life? I just ask you, church, could that change your life to ask that question? God, what is your will for my life today? So some of you young people aren't even thinking much about the future. It's enough for people that are young just to get up and do what they're told all day long and kind of enjoy the life you get. It's very, probably a lot of young folks aren't asking God about His will. And the old folks, oh my gosh, the old folks might have said, all the chances I've ever going to have, I've had, and it's the way it's whatever it's going to be. And that leaves the rest in the middle that have to run everything. And you're so busy running everything, you can't possibly ask the question, God, what is your will for my life? Because I got to get up Monday morning and get working for the man. And into this situation of life came Jesus Christ. So we know the story of what Joseph did. Apparently, because the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord said to him, be a man of God, be faithful, stay true to me, do the very best you can do with the situation as is. So what did Joseph do? He did very well, and everything he did prospered, right? So we like a story where everything goes right, don't we? I mean, wouldn't it be really great if everything you did was the right thing, and because of that, you just had nothing but blessing? And that was what happened to Joseph for a long time there. Until he got thrown back into prison. Remember that? The guy who had it all was thrown back into prison. He continued to bless Potiphar's household and serve him. And probably, although I wasn't there, my guess is that Joseph was the kind of man that prayed for his captors. Because eventually, he was set free. Turn with me to Genesis 45. Joseph 45, we get near the restoration of relationship between Joseph and his brothers. Joseph hasn't forgotten his family. He has never quit loving his family. And now God has allowed him to provide for his family through all the famine. And they come back together, 45, starting with, well, verse 4, he's called his brothers to him, and he says, come even closer to me. His brothers approach him cautiously, and he says, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Don't be upset or angry with yourselves any longer because of what you did. Now, come on. Are you a no-good, dirty rat? What kind of a brother are you to sell your youngest brother into slavery? Is that in your mind? Are you thinking about what you did? And your brother, in humility, calls you up and says, hey, forget about it. You see, he writes, and I think some of you have already underlined this in your Bible. You see, God sent me here ahead of you to preserve your life. Verse 8. So it wasn't really you who sent me here, but God. The same God who made me an advisor to Pharaoh and all the story. How many of us, when we read this story, think we could change it around and make it better? Huh? If it were me. And yet God says, I've got a plan for Joseph. I've got a plan for Jacob. I've got a plan for Egypt. I've got a plan for Israel. God made a covenant with Noah. Then God made a covenant with Abraham. So we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We get to Joseph. What was the covenant with Abraham? That he would be the father of many nations. And as we approach the end of the story of Genesis, the broader collective story of Genesis, we come to another guy named Moses. And Moses is going to introduce us through his life, through his story, to another covenant of God. So what I'm seeing as I read through the book of Genesis, just in Genesis, at least three covenants that God Almighty has made with his people. What a wonderful God we have. He's a God who makes promise. He's a God who keeps promise. And really, what is he asking of you and me but to believe him? And I say, I heard your promise, God. I heard your promise to take care of me, to love me and protect me. And I know you've promised to just supply everything I need. But I've got a wish list this long, right? God didn't say he would give me my wish list, did he? He didn't say, I will give you more money than you can spend. He said, I will provide for you. And immediately you and I start arguing about what kind of job he's doing with it. He makes this covenant with Moses. What do we understand the Mosaic covenant to be? So, Noah was no more destruction by flood. Abraham was, I'll make you the father of many nations. What was the Mosaic covenant? The covenant was called the law, right? He gave the law. The Mosaic covenant is, I'm going to show you how to live. Right? So how many of us enjoy law? I just love it so much. How many of us see law as restrictive? Confining. How many of us see law in a negative? There's just a show on the History Channel about Samuel Adams, and just before 1776 and the Revolution of America began with the Declaration of Independence and all that, and the History Channel was showing all of the interactions between the townspeople of New England. Just the regular folks who'd come over to settle the land and make new lives, and the contrast of that and what the British wanted. What did the British want from the colonies? Huh? Money and servitude, right? Because the British had a king, and a king has subjects. Who are the subjects of a king? Everybody. So, because he was the king, and because we were his subjects, he wanted the money and all the stuff he could get. And this upset the colonists. Duh. And they rebelled against that, and now we have a nation. And what have we been doing for the last 200 plus years? We have been making laws. That's what they do in Washington. Every day, all day long, they make more laws. That's why I love gridlock. Gridlock to me is, I'm sidetracked here about political things, but if the Congress can't do anything, I think that's terrific. Because that means they can't pass any laws, and if they can't pass any laws, they can't tax me anymore. So half of you should write your senators vote no, and the other half should write them and say yes, and let's just lock this place up, and then we can go about living our lives. The way God works is different than the way you and I work. That's my point. He's got a plan. He's going to do what he's going to do. And ultimately, it's going to be called restoration. And you and I, who know him, the day you are with him in glory, the day you greet the Lord face to face, I promise you this, you will not have any thought about whatever troubles you're in today. They will not be on your radar ever again. We are promised that. Sometimes I think we need to remind ourselves of how good God is and how much he loves us. I'll close the book of Genesis with chapter 46, verse 2. I do this not because I'm trying to teach so much biblical theology, as I now want to try and impart some biblical practicality, what I like to call some shoe leather stuff. I want to introduce you to something, a possibility, and I know it's a possibility because it's recorded here in Genesis. So if it happened then, it could happen now. Right? Well, other than the flood that he promised he would never do again. But listen to this. Genesis 46. Israel sent out on his journey to Egypt with all of his belongings, and when he came to Beersheba, he offered sacrificial gifts to the God of his father, Isaac. So, Israel, whose name was formerly Jacob, right? So Jacob comes, he's on his job, he's on his camino, and he gets to this place and he offers gifts to God and prays to God. Much like what we do on Sunday morning. We come, God, to give you the gifts of our presence, the gifts of coming together in fellowship, this gift of unity among ourselves. We give you, O God, the praise of our lips. Yes? And at the next line is the getcha one. Verse 2. God spoke there to Israel. God spoke to him. In this particular text and season, it was through dreams and visions. Has God ever spoken to you? I'm trying not to stare at anyone to look for it, but has God ever spoken? And some have said to me, well, I've never heard the audible voice of God. Okay, have you ever had the still, small voice in your spirit? Have you ever read the Word of God and felt that it was just illuminated to you? That's as if God was saying something to you? Has God spoken to you? How many people would say they've actually felt a communion with God Almighty? All right? Now, was it any good? Was it something that blessed you? Is it something you would long for again? Yeah. And we might think about this. We might think, well, what is it that releases the voice of God into me? What kinds of things would have to be happening in my life for me to hear from God? What? Carol says, pay attention. Anything else?
To be listening for him.
To be actually listening for God. Lord, is that you? Are you speaking to me? Show me where to walk, O God, and then I do what I want to do? Jesus said, come and follow me. Yes, sir.
To listen, we have to get out of our own way.
We have to get out of our own way, don't we? To be able to hear from God.
It's a funny thing that when I get a burden on my heart and I pray about it, and I ask him to answer the prayer, then he makes me do stuff. Like I'm praying that these kids will be close together. I'm praying that they'll learn that this is their church. that they are ministers now, not when they're 25 and they're not used to ministering. And so he says to me, do this or write this and then get them together. And yes, but Lord, I'm this and I'm working and I'm... And he says, well, didn't you pray and didn't you ask that these children get this? I'm telling you to do it. Sometimes he tells you to pray, then he tells you to do what you prayed for. And that's true.
And Anita knows when it's God talking because that finger is there. Carol and Norma, there's something about your generation that's got... Does God speak to us? Okay, we've got to be listening. Got to be paying attention. Got to get out of our own way.
Be in His Word.
If you're in His Word, the chances are you'll read something that He might have said yet again to you.
Draw near to me and I will draw near to you.
Yeah, draw near to me, he says.
When you seek me, you will find me.
If you seek me, you will find me.
I think you have to have a want to. You know, if we're ignoring God, you know, pretty quick we're going to not even hear it anymore. We want to hear from Him, and we want to listen and do His will.
Absolutely, Kay. And I know we're out of time, but church, hear me now. I want the very best for you. As a pastor, as a shepherd, I want the very best for you. And when I hear of your troubles, I wish I could just fix them. I was out at BCA early this week. Rebecca called the elders and any who weren't working on regular lives to come out to BCA and pray for the place. Because not only are the staff going through lots of issues in their lives and the children going through lots of stuff in their lives, but the children's families, we got lots of stuff going through in their lives. And I think, folks, this isn't just at BCA, it's probably at the public school too. But there's so much overwhelming things going on. Rebecca finally just said, can somebody just please come and pray for us? And we gathered there, and Lena had typed up a list of the kinds of things that we could pray about so that we weren't ignorant. And you read through this list and you want to pray. And it just is overwhelming to me because I would like to be able to just fix it. I can't write enough checks to make it all better. The church board doesn't have enough money to make it all well. And I think a lot of folks, because I've learned this over a few years of ministry, a lot of folks, Kay, give up on God. They just give up, and so they don't want it any... Well, they want it, but they've quit seeking. How it hurts me when someone leaves the church. I don't mean leaves attendance here. I mean, you know, just drops out of the faith. And usually you ask them, well, how come? And they've got a whole list of oughts against who. Really, God didn't do what I asked Him to do. When I asked Him to do it, the way I asked Him to do it, with all the resources that I told Him I needed. It's like Job's buddies. Right? Well, if you were righteous, this mess wouldn't be here. Oh my goodness, read the book. The reason Job was in such a fix was because of his righteousness. Amen. Try that on. And so, yes, Anita, we go to God in prayer and we say, Lord, what should I do? And He opens up ministry. And He says, you mean you're willing? You'd be willing to teach a kid to play piano? You think, well, yeah, I know how to play piano. I'd be glad to teach a child to play piano. And 40 kids show up. Church, I'm asking you again, as pastor of this place, to join us in a Camino. We're in the book of Exodus now. I would urge you to start reading along in the book of Exodus Our daily reading plan is in your bulletin. It's on our church website. If we will read the stories of God, what He has done in the past, it'll build your faith. I know there's a dozen other Bible studies that can go on in people's lives, but for us to move together is a wonderful thing. That's what fellowship is. So I just encourage you. Let's read through together and see what God is saying to the church. The book of Exodus, you see, is all about deliverance. Anybody in the room need deliverance of anything? Oh my goodness. Anybody in the room need deliverance of anything?
Yes.
Okay. Let's learn about how God delivers His people. Father, I thank You so much for loving us the way You do. Your thoughts are not like my thoughts, oh God. Your ways are higher than my ways. So I yield again to You. Again, I come to Your throne of grace and mercy. And I say, God, have Your way with me. Have Your way with this, Your people. But especially be our God. Help us to see the heavenly host stationed behind us and all around us. Help us to be aware of the angelic created ones that You have to minister to us. Help us, O God, be aware of Your voice, that we might not ever this coming week, not one minute this week, feel alone, because we know You're with us. These things we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen?
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 Amen.
Go Seahawks.